Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:10 British Summer Time. Today is October 10th. Well, this was a reasonably positive day right across Europe and the USA. A bit mixed in Asia this morning. China opened up after the Golden Week holiday in negative territory, the banks index leading to the downside there. In the rest of Asia, it was generally positive. The Hang Seng, following China's lead, was relatively unchanged. The ASX in Australia was stronger by just under 1%. In the ASEAN region, most markets had a reasonable bounce in here. India was also a bit stronger. In Europe, the majority of markets were stronger in excess of 1%. The DAX by over 3%, same with the MIB. The FTSE getting right back up towards that 5,400 level. And that it really is the upper side of the range in here. It was up 1.8%. The S&P was stronger by 3.4%, the Dow by just under 3%, the Nasdaq composite by 3.5%, Brazil by almost 4%, Mexico by 1.6%. So a generally positive tone right across stock markets. In the commodity complex, perhaps it would be more relevant to mention the dollar first. The dollar was quite a bit weaker in here today. It had become really quite overextended following a very impressive rally all the way through September and into early October. It was unwinding some of that overbought condition last week. Today constitutes a downward dynamic. The dollar index fell down to 77.5, and the progression of higher reaction lows is at 77 even. This is the largest fall in the dollar index since July, so it constitutes quite a large pullback for the dollar in here. It was weaker against the euro by almost 3 full cents, by over 2 cents against the Australian dollar, by just over 1 cent against the Canadian dollar. The Singapore dollar was also quite a bit stronger in here. The Swiss franc was stronger by over 2 cents. So the rather broad weakness in the US dollar today was a tailwind for the commodity complex. Gold was stronger by $38, silver by $1.11, platinum and palladium both in excess of $30. So really quite good bounces in the precious metal sector. Copper stronger by 10 cents on the COMEX contract. It's back up to 337 and change in here. It has been a sharp rebound in copper prices. Industrial metals generally were quite firm in here today. The grain and bean complex was in positive territory. It paired its advance towards the end of the day. Soybeans, for example, had been as high as 1,193 cents, but finished out the day at 1,177 and a half, only up 19 on the day. The bond market was also notable in here today. The long bond in the USA is currently at 139 and a half. That's considering the fact that this time last week the market was trading closer to 145. This has been a sharp decline on consecutive days. Breaking below 140 is rather momentous. It greatly increases the potential that we're close to a medium-term peak in government bond prices. We're also seeing that there's a large degree of commonality right across countries because gilts today fell below 128. They were down a full point. They're closing out the week at 120, or sorry, closing out the day at 127.07. The German Bund down below 135. It was down almost 0.8 of a full point in here today. The Australian 10-year, Canadian 10-year, Swiss 10-year, all looking susceptible to an additional decline. That's probably the real theme to consider in here because those sovereign bonds have been deemed to be a safe haven in the face of the political inertia that you have in the USA, the sovereign debt crisis that you have in Europe, the potential that Greece is going to default, that the euro is going to disappear, that the stock markets were in free fall, commodities pulling back sharply, and The safe havens were treasuries and the US dollar. Well, the US dollar has had quite a large pullback. It wasn't nearly as overextended. While being overextended in the short term, it wasn't nearly as overextended as US treasuries. On previous occasions, when the Fed has engaged in quantitative easing, it has not been positive for treasury prices. Generally, what the market does is it anticipates the Fed's actions. Everyone buys with the aim of selling to the Fed later on. That appears to be what's going on right now. So there is a gathering, there is an increased amount of evidence that we're approaching a medium-term peak, a confirmation, I should say, of a medium-term peak in treasury prices. If that is the case, then one has to ask the question, where's the money going to go? Because if people start selling their treasuries, they're going to be raising cash. And the stock market is an oversold asset class in here right now. We're at a juncture, an important juncture, between bonds and stock markets. On the back of today's action, it looks increasingly likely that treasuries are at a medium-term peak, and stock markets have had a very impressive rally over the last week. The S&P is under 6 points away from the 1200-point level. It's almost completely unwound its overextension relative to the 200-day moving average. The Nasdaq 100 on the December future right now is at 2278. The moving average is close enough to 2300. For the FTSE is currently sitting at 5400 and the moving average is close enough to 5500. So the main stock market indices in the USA and in Europe are not overextended relative to the 200-day moving averages. They've shown remarkable relative strength in the last month. And they're at that juncture right now. If US Treasuries are going to break down, then there's an increased likelihood that they're going to be able to push back up above their 200-day moving averages. They're going to be able to break upwards out of these trading ranges that have been forming for the last couple of weeks. And that would be good positive action. That would greatly increase the potential that they could get back up there and test their highs from earlier this year before the end of the year. So the next week or two is really going to be rather pivotal from that perspective. Markets that have pulled back more sharply, those that didn't range from the 8th and 9th of August, but actually posted new lows, they're considerably more overextended relative to the 200-day moving averages. The DAX is certainly one of those markets. It was stronger by 3% today. That's good positive action. It's found support in the region of 5,500. It's currently at almost at 5,850. It's still way overextended relative to its 200-day moving average. If we see markets such as the FTSE on Wall Street pushing back up above their 200-day moving averages, then that increases the possibility that laggards, most of them in Europe and also a number of them in Asia, will also be able to stage at least a rally to unwind their overextensions relative to their 200-day moving averages. Europe remains the focus of investor concerns. That doesn't mean that the USA doesn't have its problems, or China doesn't have its problems, or the tightening bias that you have right across Asia isn't a concern, or that there isn't a problem or a potential that growth is going to weaken somewhat on a global basis. Europe remains the focus of investor concerns. This is going to be an important month. You have the EU summit on the 17th of October. Then you have the G20 summit on the 3rd and 4th of November. The potential for some form of holistic approach to this crisis being brought forward at those various summits is high. They're going to have to bring something up because Greece is going to run out of money in November. So if there's going to be a default, it's probably going to be in November. So far, the Europeans have been kicking the can down the road. The potential that they're going to continue doing that, I would put at reasonably high, probably better than 50-50. provided Greece continues to acquiesce and push through the revenue-raising measures that it has been told to do. One can't rule out the potential that there will be an urban revolt and that there would be a breakdown of law and order in the country. That hasn't happened yet. There certainly have been riots, but it hasn't been anything remotely close to the kind of thing that we've seen in North Africa, for example. That remains, I think, an outside possibility, but neither can it be ruled out at this stage. What we are looking at the moment is that markets fell really very aggressively for most of September. They were pricing in a worst-case scenario. The talk that's coming out of Europe right now is a bit more positive, it's a bit more concerted. It's talking about the French and the Germans starting to get their act together, really realizing that the European banking sector is going to need to be bailed out one way or the other. And that is something that everybody knew to begin with, and now the politicians are getting behind that. That's positive news. It makes the potential for a worst case scenario less likely, and markets appear to be beginning to price that in. Oil markets still remain uncomfortably high. Brent crude in particular. Now that spread between West Texas Intermediate and Brent could potentially narrow if we start to see Libyan production coming back online in the next 6 months, but it remains a short-term concern, and Brent crude has a backwardation in here, so the potential that we're going to see it go back up and test the progression of lower rally highs is reasonably intact in here. Commodities are as oversold as a number of the worst performing stock markets. They are quite capable of bouncing in here. Gold has found support in the region of $1,550. It's back up to $1,675. This looks like an orderly consolidation following a swift reversion towards the 200-day moving average. It's going to take some time before gold has built up enough of support around this level to be able to hold a meaningful move to new high ground, but it's finding support in exactly the right area. This remains a consistent medium-term uptrend within the confines of a secular uptrend. Gold's trend has become considerably more consistent in the last 2.5 years. That tells us one thing. It tells us that demand is increasingly more potent than supply. And as long as that remains the case, we can consider that gold remains in a bull market. The likelihood of gold being able to support and advance above $1,900 at some point in the next year or two remains really quite a strong one. That would suggest that, as with any major bull market, gold is a purchase on pullbacks. We've had a pullback. It's a more Even at $1,675, it's more attractive today than it was at over $1,900. Platinum and palladium, like the other industrial metals, have also been really quite overextended on the downside. They are currently enjoying a short covering rally. Whereas markets such as Wall Street and Europe have already closed their overextensions relative to the 200-day moving average, they share a common characteristic with a number of consumer-led shares in that they're showing relative strength. What one can see if you go and click through the sector indices that we have for so many different countries, then it's consumer-led shares that are leading to the upside. That's not just the case in the USA or in Europe, it's the case in India, in China, in Indonesia. The growth of the global consumer, the rise of the global middle class, the greatest urbanization in history remains a dominant theme. It's likely to remain so for the coming decade. Infrastructure development was the major theme in the last decade. China's already built a lot of its infrastructure. India is finally beginning to play catch up, but it's going to be more fragmented. It's not going to be as organized as China's. This decade is more than likely going to be the decade of the consumer. And the relative strength that we're seeing in those sectors certainly helps to support that that view. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.